Welcome to the Effective Entrepreneurs Podcast. This episode is a recording of this week's Jedi Goal Mastery series. In each session, I interview an experienced entrepreneur or expert in their field to introduce and explore innovative and unexpected ideas in order that we can set better goals and work more effectively to achieve our individual vision of success. This short session will challenge you to think differently, give you a quick question to work through, and then reveal some snippets from our Q&A. Please enjoy this unfiltered podcast. Good morning and welcome to this week's episode of the Jedi Goal Mastery series. Super delighted. I've got Alex Ryan in the room. Alex, my lovely, good morning.
Welcome. Morning. Thank you very much for having me.
For those of us who can't see us, Alex and I are sporting the same haircut, but if we were in the room, we'd, little bit twin-like, really, in terms of our energy and many other things. So, Alex, it's brilliant to see you. We are here to talk about all things AI, but quick introduction. I kind of read this off a little bit from your LinkedIn profile and a bit because I know you. So, Alex is, as it says on his screen there, he is the owner of Marketing 101. He's also the chair of Gadio Radio, super involved with the Giftware Association, Business Leaders Wine Club, the Big Business Breakfast Club, etc. He's a podcaster, a DJ, a college lecturer, and in between times, he has time to be a very, very lovely person. So, Alex, my love, very warm welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure. Absolutely
so
pleasure.
AI, everybody's talking about AI. It's like, it kind of can overwhelm, etc. So we're here to dispel a few myths, but mainly to talk about our marketing strategy, content creation, etc., and how AI can help us. And all of this, as we were discussing before, is that actually if you've got confidence in the ability to put out consistent, amazing content to attract the right people, this basically supports our ability to achieve the wonderful goals we set. Because if you know, anytime you talk to somebody, the content is there, all the words are right and there and ready, and it just kind of makes that reaching out and doing the marketing so much easier. And therefore, hey ho, you are so much more likely to set better goals and achieve them too. So, Alex, we're going to go straight into this because, you know, this is a huge subject and I know you've got a lot to say. So, just, you know, in terms of AI and what it is and that whole thing around just our general marketing strategy, because I think some people think strategy is, oh, it's social media or it's this, and they think of it as the ways in which we deliver our marketing or do our marketing. But in terms of creating an overall sort of comprehensive strategy that all kind of hangs together, let's dive straight in and talk about how, you know, what can AI bring to that part of the equation, actually setting that strategy in the first place?
Yeah, so as you said, I think a lot of people see AI as a cheat for putting out a lot of content. And it is very useful for that. And I think we'll talk about that as well. I think what it's most known for at the moment is, please suggest 5 blogs that I can write. Please write the blogs. Please write my website copy. Please write a newsletter article, please write an article. Please take my blog and design 3 social media posts off the back of it. Please write those social media posts. It's very much known for that. But I think when something which is overlooked, and I know Heather attended a presentation of mine back in November at a workshop called Grow Digital, which is actually starting to run again next week. I focused more on the ability that AI has to kind of perform almost like a team member, but a team member that has limitless knowledge, limitless expertise, and limitless capacity. If only we could have that from all of our team members. And it doesn't have the ability to say no, right? So it has to answer whatever you ask. So it is like the perfect team member. And one of the key things that we can actually do with AI, and I particularly talk about ChatGPT. It's the most accessible. And you do need to be on the upgraded version, which kind of costs $20 a month. But I'm sure once I tell you what it can do, you'll understand the value of that. On ChatGPT, when you have upgraded, you have the ability to attach files, like in the same way that you might attach a file to an email. There's a little, you know, paperclip button. and you can add all manner of data files. So if you've got Excel documents, any kind of spreadsheet with customer data, sales data, staff data, things like your P&L, your cash flow forecast, website data, anything like that, you can now upload it to ChatGPT. This has been live for about 5 months, and you can ask ChatGPT to help you analyze that data. And marketing really is rooted in data and understanding your audience, the opportunity, and the history of your work. And it doesn't matter how small it is, the data set that you've got, because you can also find industry data. So you can very easily Google for or go to places like the BIPC, which is based in the library in Brighton and in Crawley as well, where you can get data about your industry, about potential clients. And you can literally ask it questions. So you could ask it, you could upload a load of sales data. So say you're, I don't know the makeup of the audience, but just as an example, say you are selling from your website. So you have products or you have courses, services that you sell. You can download all that sales data from your website. You can upload it to ChatGPT, and you can treat it like a business analyst. It understands your industry and it understands your data in a way that a business analyst or a BI, business intelligence person would. And you can interrogate your own data, and you can do it far quicker than you can do it on Excel, because of course you could go in there and write formulas and those kind of things. But actually, you can just say, for example, looking at my data, what questions should I ask you, or what insights can you give me? And that's a really important lesson with ChatGPT, is to ask ChatGPT what to ask ChatGPT. Okay, it's my Heather's nodding because it's like my motto.
It's the biggest thing. If this is what I want, how can I ask you to get what I want?
It's amazing.
And it will tell you.
Yeah, writing prompts is so prompts are the things you write into ChatGPT or any AI to get some outputs. Think of it as a question. It can be really complex, but actually you forget that you can ask ChatGPT anything. So you can say, look at my data, what should I ask you? Like, what can you tell me about this? And it'll tell you things like, I could give you a breakdown of your demographic. I could give you insights into your seasonality of sales. I could give you insights into which segments of your audience, maybe age or location or sex, are buying which of your products and at which time of year or on what days of the week. So that's the first part, is it says, this is the stuff I could tell you. And then you can say, okay, then tell me that one. So you can copy and paste, you know, the sentence in where it said, I could tell you about the demographic makeup of your audience. Okay, do this. And it will give you all that feedback. Really interesting examples of things that you can do with this data upload. When I get my P&L, right, at the end of every quarter, I get a P&L sent over from my accountant. Normally I look at the bottom line and then it's filed. But ChatGPT is like having an accountant on hand that has memorized your data, because ChatGPT doesn't really read in the same way that when you type something into Google doesn't actually read in a human way all the websites in the world and then return the most appropriate results. It just kind of knows it and then assimilates it, right, into something concise. So you've given it 4 years of P&L, 5 years of P&L, upload all your documents to it, and then ask it, like an accountant, what can you tell me about my business? What can you tell me about my cash flow? Where's my money going? What am I spending money on? Which are the most lucrative areas of my business? With a cash flow forecast, no one likes making one. You could upload your historic cash flow forecasts and ask it to create your next cash flow forecast for your next year. It's all automated and it'll just spit out that content for you. And then a really useful thing with cash flow forecasts, if it's something that you do, is scenario planning. So, oh, someone just thumbs up. Was that me? Did I thumbs up myself?
I think you did it yourself. Oh, what? Yay for the cash flow forecast.
That was really excited about cash flow there. More excited than I intended to be. Yeah, I forgot you've got these new symbols now on it. It's very good, very clever. So scenario planning. If you upload your cash flow forecast, you could then say to ChatGPT, What would my cash flow look like if I changed my payment terms from 30 days to 60 days? What would my cash flow look like if I engaged a business development manager at 40 grand a year? What would it look like if I moved out of my home office and started renting at this amount of money per year? Again, you can do all this in Excel, on Excel, but you need to understand Excel. ChatGPT understands what you're trying to say and will return those results for you very, very easily.
So just bringing you back, because I know we could kind of, you know, in terms of the marketing strategy and coming back to that sort of the demographic and so on, and in terms of how you could then just bring it down to some simple steps and maybe a couple of ideas of prompt of, you know, based on this demographic that perhaps, as you say, you've got from your data, because, you know, data is a good thing. We can't just suck it out of our thumbs sometimes. Mm. Sometimes you might not have the data because you haven't been in business for long enough. And that's another matter. But you can still get some general outline ideas in terms of, you know, 10 steps for a strategy. What must a strategy include, as I say, so that we don't get stuck down the rabbit hole of the doing of, oh, I have to be doing social media posts. What's that more global look? Can you just give us a couple of ideas of some prompts absolutely. You might use?
So the first thing that I always do, and this is honestly 100% of the time when talking to ChatGPT, down the side of ChatGPT, you have, can I share my screen? Heather, so many screens open, it takes me ages to find it when I'm trying to share it. So this is ChatGPT. Can everyone see that? Yeah. So the very first thing is down this left-hand side here, you have your history of chats. So when you're talking about your business, my recommendation is to keep it within one chat. People tend to start a new chat here every time they go back to ChatGPT. They start a brand new chat and start typing their questions in. But actually, ChatGPT remembers the history of what you've asked it before. So it can learn about your business, but only if you go back to the same chat. So for example, this chat here, this is the Care for Veterans charity that I mentioned we work for in Worthing. So inside this chat, as it loads, is everything that we have ever talked to it about, okay? It goes on, trust me, because we've done a lot of work for these people. So all this history of everything you've ever talked about is in there. So now, if I put my new question here, once we get to the bottom, in here, it's going to use all its previous understanding of my business to answer the question. So you're not starting with a blank canvas. So therefore, what I recommend as a starting point for building a marketing strategy, when you create your new chat, the very first thing to do is to go to your website and copy and paste all the content from your website into ChatGPT. You don't need to be very careful about it. You don't need to kind of just grab the content. Once this page is loaded, I'll show you exactly how to do it. But the idea is you've already got all this content created, right? You've written about your business, and maybe it's not on your website, or maybe it is, but maybe you've got a document that really well describes your business. Maybe you've done a business strategy, a business outline. Maybe you've got a marketing strategy that you've tried before. You can copy and paste everything into ChatGPT, and then you can say, using what you know about my business, apologies, my Wi-Fi is clearly very slow because I think my partner's also on a Zoom at the moment, but using everything you know about my business, please now answer this question. Okay, so I'll just do two pages. Here's my homepage. I'm going to select everything, so Command A. So it doesn't matter that it's selected all of the menu items. We've also got all this lovely content. I'm going to copy, and then in ChatGPT,
and you can actually, this bit you can actually do on the free version. You don't have to have the paid version. So for people who are just getting started and want to play, which is the best thing with ChatGPT, just play on the free one. It's free.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've copy and pasted my homepage, and then I've got loads of content on my services page. So we're going to copy and paste that in as well. I won't go any further, but you could copy and paste your entire website in. It will take you 5 minutes, but it's going to give you the best possible start. So ChatGPT is going to start talking to me because I've done something. It said you've provided an overview of your business. Great. Now, when I start to ask it questions, it understands everything from above about my business. So I could say, using what you know about my business, give me an exhaustive list of ways to market it. As simple as that. So it understands everything that we have given it from above. It understands my business, and you're starting from that place of knowledge rather than what a lot of people tend to do is they tend to go to ChatGPT and say, I'm a business consultant, please give me ideas for marketing, or I'm a business consultant, please give me some blog ideas. So the very first thing to do is to prep ChatGPT for your business. And you can see immediately now we're getting some great ideas out of it. Okay. An interesting thing that I wrote there, which is a really useful prompt, is give me an exhaustive list. If you just ask for a list, ChatGPT is built on human nature. And actually, it's kind of done it here a little bit. It tends to give you lists of 5 or 10 round numbers. Give me an exhaustive list. You're going to get much better ideas out of it. So this is a great starting point for your marketing strategy. And remember, if you don't understand any of these, you can just copy and paste it in and ask for more detail. So you can say, tell me more about how to implement this, what kind of budget I need, and then paste. So I just copied and pasted number one, and it's going to give you more information about that particular marketing activity. So this is exactly how to do it. Keyword research first, and then onwards. So this is just a great starting point for plucking out ideas for a marketing strategy. Obviously, what we find with ChatGPT is that it's quite divergent in its thinking. So it will just tell you everything because it doesn't know how much marketing 101 is turning over. It doesn't know how many members of staff I've got or our actual, you know, capabilities outside, you know, within the business versus third parties. So you do then have to kind of go a bit more convergent, and you could put that in. This is amazing stuff here. You know, if you don't know anything about SEO, this is how to do it. This is how much money you should be putting aside. But you could now go back to this once you've fleshed out all these different marketing opportunities and start plugging in things. Okay, well, I really only want to spend £1,000 a month on marketing, or 500. What activities might be the most effective? So yeah, this is my starting point, definitely.
Excellent. So I think that's a really good thing, as I say, because I think it's that thing of changing the dynamic around something like a marketing strategy, which you get a lot of people don't have a strategy in place. And even just asking it, these are a whole bunch of ideas. It's like, you know, what 10 things must I include in a marketing strategy type of idea? So it's just, and keep asking it. It's like, it doesn't need more coffee. It doesn't need more money. It doesn't need days off. It doesn't need sick pay. Just keep asking it questions. So following on from that, Alex, is there's like going into the next step along from that is once you've kind of got the ideas, you're sort of fathoming out how to do that. In terms of creating content and different types of content, I mean, I know that you'll use a lot of the things you've already talked about. So, you know, putting your stuff in so it gets your tone of voice. But about how to sort of get more creative, because suddenly you've got this free helper. How can you kind of, you know, go beyond, this is what I normally do. I normally do a LinkedIn live and one meme and a thing. And that's my bit each week.
Absolutely.
It's like, I don't know, about creating maybe a plan for the month and, you know, getting it to generate some yumminess for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously once you've gone through that step that we've just looked at, you've prepped it, you've asked for loads of ideas, then you can ask it to formulate a marketing strategy. You can literally say, please now write me a marketing strategy. I would recommend at that point going to other areas of the internet and finding some prompts that you can copy and paste. If you just say, write me a marketing strategy, it's going to be pretty basic. It tends to spit out about 10 bullet points, right? But if you go to the internet, go to Google and say, you know, marketing strategy prompts for ChatGPT, you'll be able to copy and paste some things which will make it a bit more extensive. Before the content comes the data, because you always want to make sure that you're writing content for your target audience. So that's the point at which I would say upload your customer list or sales data and say, here's a load of information about my customers. Now, beware of privacy here. So if you're going to upload a list of all your clients, delete their names, delete their email addresses, delete their phone numbers. If they're from your website, delete their username and delete their address. You can leave their postcodes on there. And their sales history or any notes that you have against them, when they joined, how much they've shopped with you, that kind of stuff. But just make sure you delete anything private. And that's going to tell them everything they need to know about your audience, hopefully, if you've got that kind of data. But that's the data stage. Then, yeah, content creation. I mean, ChatGPT can do it all for you. It is as simple as that. And what I suggest is that you broadly speaking, start off with using it for brainstorming. So again, I'll share my screen and we'll do it live because it's a nice visual to see it kind of happening in the real world. If I can find that slide again, there it is.
Yeah, we're in sharing mode. Yeah, got it.
Cool. So what you might do here is something like you might say suggest 5 blog posts that will draw people to my business. Now, of course, at this point, you've already hopefully uploaded or told it something about your demographic, that kind of thing. And it's going to now start to spit out some ideas. So don't just use all these ideas. Pick ones that you really like. So, for example, right here, number 3, demystify Google Analytics, a beginner's guide to understanding your website traffic. Now, Marketing 101, the brand, is all about transparency, getting back to basics. So there we go, straight away, demystifying. That says something great to me. So now I won't do this bit because it can take a while. You could literally say, okay, write blog number 3. And it's gonna put that in for you. Terrible spelling, apologies. So, okay, write blog number 3, and it's gonna start doing that. I'm gonna stop it in a second because we don't want it to generate. You've got a stop button here. But once it's done that, you could then say, write me 3 social media posts, each with a different angle to promote that blog. And suddenly you've got a blog that really matches your brand. You've got 3 social, and you can add that to your newsletter. You can add it to your website, of course. That's where blogs go. And then you can have your 3 social media posts that will help you promote that blog with different reasons to go and read it. Because a lot of people write a blog and then go to social media and say, I've written a blog. Here it is. You know, it's not a good enough reason. So you might instead have something, you know, if it's around analytics, you might say, you know, understand more about your business through Google Analytics. Click here to read our blog demystified. But then you might find 2 other reasons as well. Your social media post might be like, do you understand what platforms your audience are using? You know, whether it's Chrome or iPhones versus iMacs or whatever, click here to read our blog about Google Analytics. So depending on what the content of that blog is, you can find different reasons to send people to it. So yeah, content creation on here is amazing. And one thing you mentioned, Heather, maybe like creating a social media content calendar for a whole month, for example. Again, you know, really, really easy. You could do something like, you could say, I want 12 social posts for the next month. So that's 2 a week. It's fair enough, isn't it? Each one highlighting a different service. Please write them. So it knows the services that we provide because I copy and pasted this service page in. So now it's going to, hopefully, it might not. If it doesn't, just go and ask the question in a better way. But it's going to give us a social media post for each of our services, 12 posts, and that's your month done. Now, looking at these aren't actually fantastic. They're a little bit short, but you can go a little bit deeper. So you could say, try again, but give me the post copy, a suggestion for an image, and the hashtags, put it in a table. Let's see if this works.
Oh, this is a bold question. Love it.
Yeah, so there we go. It's creating now a social media content calendar for us. And what you could do, you could go to AI and ask it to create this image, but do be wary of using AI imagery on your public profile, your social media. I would suggest go to Canva. Do we all use Canva for our graphic design? Or a free, you know, iStock, somewhere we can get free photography. And you could find a great photo, a rocket taking off, symbolizing growth and success. That's not going to be hard. Don't go to Google. Always royalty-free images. You will get caught out. And then you copy and paste this copy. There's some hashtags to go with it. And here's your image. And you've got your social media for the rest of the month sorted. Each one highlighting a different service. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Amazing. I mean, there's so much and so many ideas. And slight apologies for the people listening on the podcast because you can't see all the genius things that Alex is doing. But you certainly you'll be able to get a real flavour of them, and you'll still be able to follow the steps that we've taken. Just before we go into our question time, Alex, in terms of what this, you know, this is like, we've barely touched the surface of the possibilities here. But in, you know, having talked about, okay, now we can create a better strategy. Now we understand how we can kind of start creating that social media content to back that up. One of the things I just wanted to, in terms of just tying this together for the sake of this, is that having that confidence, because we've now got, you know, we know we can start to generate the right things, to say the right things, to generate the right people to come to our business. How does that sort of tie together in terms of just, yeah, as I said, it's more about that confidence thing that you and I talked about before off camera, is that when you've got the confidence in all of this ability to do the right marketing, and just how the impact, just talk briefly about the impact that can have on your business generally. You know, you do marketing for people. Once people have that confidence in their marketing, what does that do for a business?
Well, I mean, immediately, I would say the two things that we've kind of focused on today, well, the three things. So creating marketing strategy, uploading data and creating content. Immediately, that helps you feel more confident about your ability to run your business. But without people who don't do marketing spend so much time trying to turn their head to marketing and spend some time on it. But if you've got a strategy in place, which, you know, has milestones, and I know you talk a lot about goals, Heather, and with ChatGPT, you can, any task you've got, you can ask it to estimate the amount of time it's going to take you, break it down into sections. So, you know, when setting goals, whether, you know, near goals or loftier goals, you can always ask it to help estimate how long that's going to take and break down the steps to actually get there. But once you've got that marketing strategy in place, your milestones, your step to achieve each of those things, understanding how long it's going to take to deliver, once you know that, you don't need to do guesswork anymore. Even if you don't have that data right now, a lot of people do have data that perhaps, and they don't think it's very much, but, you know, even an Excel doc, if you've been tracking your leads, even if you've just had Google Analytics set up but you've never actually used it, go and download some stuff about your web traffic and learn. But you know now you can make confident and real world decisions, or at least get some data to see if your ideas match the data. You don't have to obey the data, because maybe you're pivoting, maybe you're trying to try something different. And then you know that you've actually got the ability to put content out on a regular basis without it destroying your week. You say to someone, oh, can you write a blog a month? And suddenly, you know, a year ago, people would panic and go, oh, God, and they'd manage the first one and then the next one would slip and we never stick to our timelines. So all of those things suddenly give you that confidence that you understand where you're going, how to achieve it, the kind of time it might take. And as I said, that, you know, the actual kind of ability to set goals and use AI to help you figure out exactly, you know, the real world of what those goals are going to take to achieve and to reach those goals is incredibly useful. And just the ability to turn to AI at any point and ask it that question. So that with content, it's all about saving time. And actually, I spoke to Heather about this at the last presentation. My business tripled in size last year because we took AI and we reduced the amount of time it took to work on each client. And what did we do with our spare time? We took on more clients. It was simple as that. That is almost entirely the reason that we experienced such amazing growth last year. So if you can figure out, I don't know the makeup of the room and what you're trying to deliver, but if there are elements that you can expedite by using AI, that's the time saving. Make better decisions with data. And in general, you can just, I just feel so much more confident about my ability to work. It's that old adage, right? Work on the business, not in the business. You know, my team, I know that they can pile through work and I can really think much more strategically about how to get clients, the direction of marketing 101, create, you know, we use AI now to help create marketing strategies for potential clients. You know, we both, even imagery, if we're trying to sell them what we could make if we used a graphic designer, we initially use that AI imagery to help demonstrate what their brand might look like or their new website might look like. So yeah, it's definitely a confidence boost. I hope that answers the question, Heather.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's that sort of thing of the more confidence you have in that process that, you know, I'm saying the right thing to the right people. You can set the bolder goal. As you say, there's the goal in terms of how you achieve it, but also just that you can be bolder in what you're doing because you have that capacity to be reaching out consistently. You know, you're going to be doing consistent marketing in order to attract the right people to achieve the goal that you want to do. So it's that lovely kind of positive cycle. I love that.
And do you know what? It's allowed me to say yes more easily to new clients, where initially I always used to think, have I got experience in this field, or do I know someone that I can talk to in this field? You know, just yesterday I met a person that's hoping to launch a soft play facility for kids at the same time as launching a wedding venue, right? I haven't got a clue. I've never done that marketing before, but knowing that I can go to ChatGPT and actually discuss with it, what kind of marketing would you suggest for a soft play area for kids in Sussex? You know, you can be very, very specific. And just using it for brainstorming and ideation there, it removes blank page syndrome. And that's what I think is probably the most useful thing. If you're sat there going, what do I need to do for this person? Even if the stuff that ChatGPT, even if 50%, 70% is not suitable because, you know, it's not within your capabilities or it's not actually a service you deliver, at least you've got a broad understanding of the opportunity and you can pluck those nuggets and then you can roll with it. So blank page syndrome. I used to hate sitting down to start trying to write a marketing strategy for a potential client because you're not getting paid for it. You might not get the work and you have blank page syndrome. But now there's my starting point. Oh, great. Yeah, okay. I can write more about that. That's stupid. Throw it away. That's amazing. That goes to the top of the list. So yeah, blank page syndrome.
Amazing. Yes, I use it all the time for exactly that because I over ideate and that's equally a problem. So lovely. We could talk for a very long time. So we're going to go into a question, do a quick breakthrough room. Carolyn and Bethlehem, just checking that you're both there and can go into a room to have a chat. That would be lovely to know. The question I'd love, based on all of that, thank you so much for all of that, Alex. Yeah, loads to do. Is just basically going in, having a chat, seeing where you are right now in terms of whether it's the strategy or the regularity with which you do your content creations. Because I think those are two of the main things where I've had conversations with people that they're the most challenged, that consistent content, the right content, or the strategy in the first place. So just see where you are right now. Based on the conversation we've had, how might you approach that differently? How could you use AI to basically move the bar substantially and quickly? So I would love you to have a chat. We have gone way over time in terms of this chat. So we're going to go into pairs. Wow, that was quite a session. We're pausing now, as you've heard, for the breakout rooms, and you can do the exercise now or just crack on and listen to a few of the observations from the Q&A session that followed. Please forgive the randomness of my editing skills. Right, well, welcome back, everybody. Love to hear what you chatted about in terms of what AI can do for you in respect of your marketing. And do you have any other questions for Alex while we've got him in the room?
Be unmuted. Hi, Alex. I actually attended your course with Digital Thingy last month, which was actually very interesting. So nice to see you. I was just interested what you're saying in your social media table thing that it had. Sorry, I'm trying to get the right words here. You said not to use images and you just use Canva or stock photos. Any particular reason why you're not using AI images? So your microphone's off.
On mute, love.
Oh, I forgot that it mutes you when you come back in from a breakout room. That's why I was saying a minute ago, me and Margaret just gossiped about you, Heather, but I didn't realise my microphone was off. So yeah, broadly speaking, and obviously this is a very short session compared to what we talked about, and thank you for attending Grow Digital, David. I do recognise your face. AI is a bit of a wild west at the moment. It's not new. Don't think that. It's been around donkey's years. The idea of machine learning is about 300 years old, but AI is just, it's very much come to the forefront and everyone is grabbing, which means that everyone is creating new ways of using AI, new businesses popping up left, right and center. And it's just a bit of a wild west. So what we found so far is that with copy, so where you're using it for text to make blogs or social media content copy, it seems to be okay. There doesn't seem to be too much going on from a legal perspective there. Certainly for brainstorming, ideation, interrogating your data, definitely no legal issues there. But with images, it isn't drawing new images for you. It is taking inspiration and little elements of tens of hundreds of thousands of maybe millions of images to compile your new image, and therefore your image isn't new. So that's the issue, is that we just don't know where it's going at the moment. I think it's probably gonna, I don't want to predict, but there are definitely court cases at the moment saying you've used my inspiration in this image, and then they used it for an advertising campaign. So I'd say for now, just be wary of using AI imagery. As with any kind of photography, it can be tracked. Okay, so if you take a photo of Brighton Pier off of Google and you use it as your LinkedIn banner image, you can get caught out. My sister-in-law did. It's not a distant anecdote. My sister-in-law got approached for using someone else's photo on her LinkedIn banner and ended up paying 600 euros for the pleasure. So yeah, it's just be careful with image AI. I would say don't use it yet publicly. Use it in presentations, use it for ideation. If you're briefing something to a graphic designer, you can use AI because it's not going public. Okay. And if you're going to use it in a pitch, then watermark it, you know, not for public use, right across that image, not for public use.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I actually was using it to create a meme, just kind of, you know, I put an instruction from ChatGPT into create a meme about something. And there was some text, which the text was a bit gobbledygook. It sort of used a few sort of Russian Cyrillic type letters. It was like, no, that's not. So yeah, and yeah, so a big warning there. So yeah, thank you for that. Any other insights from anyone or questions? We can't have run out of questions. I can't believe
it's
that.
It's almost too overwhelming, the world of AI. That's what I find. I think there's so much to it that often, I think it was the same at Grow Digital. Generally, people were asking about the legality side of it and the confidentiality side, which we've covered. But
Well, I was being Carl. Polite just to give room. So I'll go to Carl and just say, the R2.
Carl, and then back to you,
Carl.
David.
Alex, how much of the output from GPT do you actually use? Do you just copy and paste it? Do you rewrite it? Because there is a discussion about using AI-generated content, particularly on a website with SEO, causing issues with SEO because it's immediately detectable.
Yeah, but that hasn't been resolved, which I find quite interesting. I think at the very beginning of ChatGPT, back at, you know, kind of last January, Google put out a statement saying, I don't quote me on this, but something along the lines of they would treat AI generated content in the same way that they would treat spam content. It's never come to fruition from what I've seen. I haven't seen anybody with issues. I mean, look, as I said, AI is the Wild West, and I have to always put this caveat when I'm kind of talking to people about it, especially as it's going on a podcast and, you know, it's going to be logged in the annals of history. You do your own research, use your own common sense. We proofread everything and we amend to make it sound more human. They're very big on superlatives, you know, unwavering passion crops up quite a lot when you're using AI. The more you train it to talk like your brand, the more it sounds like your brand. And so from a human perspective, it's less detectable as AI. You can train it to be better. You can literally say, please use 25% less superlatives. You know, please rewrite this with less superlatives. You can literally say that. Less adjectives, please, or whatever. So yeah,
we never use
the pure AI output. We always rewrite or review it at least and make changes where necessary.
That starting point, isn't it? It's always the starting point.
So one of the things to note is that the number of copywriters that are actually in serious jeopardy now. We can't ignore it, and we can't just pretend that this isn't going to go away. And that the issue that we have is that AI learns from the internet, so we have to rely on humans to provide some input to provide a human perspective, because it's actually just regurgitating what it's already learnt. So I think the real value in using AI is to help it articulate your perspective. If you ask it a very simple question, it'll come back with a very simple answer, quite frankly. Well, it actually be quite an elaborate answer, but it won't be nuanced. It won't have any insight that you need to bring. So, the danger is that everybody's going to start looking the same. So you've really got to think about how am I different and bring the human input to this. And you can also give it some nuance by saying, write it in the style of Jane Austen, for example, or J.K. Rowling. Now, that's just a published author who can give it, has a writing style that it's learnt. So it's not got enough information about you to be able to introduce your style. But there are ways to give it a spin which make it different to just the generic. But I think the emphasis is about, and where we're older and wiser, we actually have the ability to look at things and go, is that right, actually? Because what Alex didn't mention was that chat does actually get things wrong. It fantasizes or hallucinates. And we can actually, as wizened people, can say, yeah, that's bullshit, and just correct it. So we still play a part in this.
Yeah, Alex, I think just your input, but I think, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some complete garbage that it can put out. But I think, and I think that's why, yes, there is a challenge to people like copywriters and so on, but actually, to use it as a starting point and to use it to work on your own stuff is amazing. But I think it's actually, I think it's a great tool for people like copywriters and for us as entrepreneurs. It's like, it's great. It means that there's we're generating interesting stuff, but I think you absolutely have to bring, it's like anything. It's like, it's bringing that humanity to it. It's humanizing the whole experience, you know, continually. And I think we have to not lose sight of that. Because you can't just hand it over to the machines. Alex, any last words, my love? Because we are at the end of our session. It's flown.
No last words. Just thank you all for having me. Greatly appreciate it. There's my LinkedIn QR code if anyone wants to grab that quickly. But I'm sure Heather will share a follow-up email with contact details if anyone wants to come and hang on LinkedIn, the playground of LinkedIn.
we love LinkedIn here at Effective Entrepreneurs Master Goals. It's where we play it a lot. So Alex, thank you so much. The few of us have put our Calendly links in, so if you want to spend some time, talk with Alex about marketing, talk with me about goals, talk with Janet about leadership, talk about Carolyn with websites. I mean, we're all out there. So please just link up with each other. If there's anybody whose details you didn't get, just reach out to me on LinkedIn and I will make an introduction there for you. So wonderful to see you all. Thank you so much. And look forward to seeing you next week on the next of the Jedi Goal Mastery series. Thank you. Thank you for spending some of your time with us today. If you'd like to join us live for these sessions or find out more about our Effective Entrepreneurship and Goal Mastery programs, please connect with me, Heather Barry, on LinkedIn or visit our website. That's effective-entrepreneurs.com. And I look forward to inspiring you to achieve your vision of success.